Welcome to the award-winning Beverage Chronicles, the show where beer, wine, spirits, and everything in between get the spotlight. You'll hear the stories, meet the people, and discover the pours behind your favorite drinks. Here's your host, Gary Monteroso.
And yes, it's time for another episode of Beverage Chronicles. Gary Monteroso here. Hope everyone is having a good week so far. Got a lot going on. I'm going to get right into the start of the show. I'd like to begin with a story that broke very recently. The Brewers Association released its annual mid-year report on the state of craft beer, and the headline is familiar. Volume is down about 4% compared to last year through the first 6 months, but there's a more nuanced story underneath. About 54% of breweries that responded to the association survey said they're actually growing. That's up from 49% last year. Now, the data isn't perfect, but it's still the best public snapshot we have, and it points in a clear direction. Pressure remains, but the contraction may be moderating. And if you want to know what's actually driving growth, especially in stores, the answer is simple. IPAs, India Pale Ales. According to market research firm Circana, among the top 30 craft brands sold in grocery, mass retail, and convenience stores, only 11 are in the black year to year, and all 11 are IPAs. The list reads like a roll call of the style's heaviest hitters. Voodoo Ranger Imperial and Juice Force, Sierra Nevada's Hazy Little Thing, Elysian Space Dust, Lagunitas India Pale Ale, and a little something-something, Goose Island's Tropical Beer Hug, Cigar City's High Lie, Wicked Weed's Pernicious, Georgetown's Budhizafa, and even a new entry, Voodoo Ranger G-Force Supercharged, which launched in February and is already the 24th best-selling craft beer in Circana's tracking. Two more IPAs are just barely in the red. The takeaway from Beer Marketers Insights is blunt. Craft sales are a tale of IPAs versus everything else in off-premise scans. That matters, but it's not the whole picture. Off-premise stores and convenience channels isn't the total market. Craft beer has traditionally performed better on draft at bars and restaurants. In fact, while less than half of all beer sold by volume has been on draft since 2017, craft has hovered around 80% draft over the past decade. Non-IPA styles tend to have a better shot over the bar, especially in a pint glass. You're not likely to find a 19.2-ounce can of Pilsner in a convenience store fridge, but you might pour one at a tap. There's some evidence that other styles are gaining ground on draft. During a four-week period in late June, when World Cup soccer was driving bar traffic, only lager and wheat or Hefeweizen gained draft share among the top five styles tracked by Beer Board. Craft brewers shared in some of that growth. Still, the overall craft segment was down around 2% by volume and 2.5% by dollars in that window, partly because IPA itself lost a share point. On-premise or off, as goes IPA, so goes craft. Here's the uncomfortable truth. The industry knows this can't last. Bart Watson, the Brewers Association chief economist, has warned for years that IPA may not always stand for immediate profits ahead. The problem isn't that people suddenly hate IPAs. It's that the style has become a hoppy hostage situation. IPAs account for roughly half of all off-premise craft dollars, but the competition for fridge space is stiffer than it was a dozen years ago. The novelty of heavily hopped West Coast IPAs or juicy New England IPAs has worn off. Now IPAs are competing with ready-to-drink cocktails like Buzzballs and Surfsides, products that are simpler, flavor-forward, and often easier for casual drinkers to choose. The real danger isn't a sudden collapse of IPA sales. is that the entire segment is stuck on IPAs and can't move past them, even if it wanted to. Nearly a decade after Voodoo Ranger, and more than 6 years since the summer of White Claw, craft beer has found no heir apparent. That's the odd and risky moment the industry is in.
Hey everyone, Vince Douglas here for Beverage Chronicles. Sometimes, even the most passionate mixologists just want to relax and enjoy the festivities with their friends. And canned cocktails offer a much simpler, hassle-free way to loosen up. A wide variety of spirits have been included in numerous canned cocktail brands. However, be cautious, as these delicious pre-made drinks can be stronger than they seem. For these ready-to-drink and ready-to-serve options, column distillation can be utilized to create a smooth tequila base that enhances the other flavors beautifully. Unlike pot distillation, column distillation removes most congeners, resulting in a clean, neutral spirit. Congeners are the compounds that contribute to a flavor of alcoholic drinks. Additionally, column distillation is more energy efficient and cost-effective since it operates continuously, allowing for larger batch production. Incorporating column-distilled spirits into canned cocktails represents a contemporary twist on our craft, providing the balanced, refreshing taste that people desire, along with the convenience they seek. The days of filling your home bar with numerous bottles of pricey liquor are behind us. Now, you can easily grab a selection of six packs that cater to everyone's preferences. Canned cocktails actually trace their origins back to the 19th century, when bartenders would pre-mix and bottle drinks to save time during busy service hours. In 1892, a range of pre-bottled martinis and Manhattans was launched. Prohibition halted the mass production of canned cocktails for several decades in the early 20th century, but the 1960s marked their resurgence. While you may think of today's canned cocktails as sweet wine coolers and hard lemonades, the industry has evolved significantly. The current trend has moved away from overly sweet drinks, focusing instead on high-quality, craft cocktails that can compete with anything served at a bar. Canned cocktails are less healthy on alcohol, allowing you to savor the flavors of the mixers. They are quite easy to drink, so be sure to pace yourself, as the flavors can be misleading. That's it for this week. I'm Vince Douglas, and I'll be back on Beverage Chronicles soon. Take care, everyone.
It's Leslie Jesperson, your everyday celebrity. Can I tell you what I think is the most boring marketing strategy in the world? Consistency. Nobody gets excited about consistency. It is not flashy. It does not go viral. And nobody wakes up saying, you know what I hope my favorite brand does today? Stays exactly the same. And yet, it is one of the biggest reasons we keep buying the brands we love. So, I want you to think about your favorite beverage. Maybe it is your morning coffee, or I have a feeling if you're listening to Beverage Chronicles, it is your favorite beer. Maybe it's that bottle of wine you always bring to a dinner party. Imagine if you bought it next week and it tasted different. Then next month, the can looked completely different. Then a few months later, they changed the logo, and then they decided to market themselves to an entirely different audience. At some point, you're probably going to stop and think, wait, is this even the same brand? Is this the same product? As consumers, we say we like surprises, but when it comes to the brands we trust, what we really appreciate is reliability. We want that coffee to taste like that coffee. We want the beer to taste like the beer. We want to know that when we order our favorite drink, we're going to get exactly what we've been looking forward to. And that is what consistency creates. It removes uncertainty, and uncertainty is exhausting. That is why you'll hear people say things like, I'll just have my usual. And that phrase for a second, think about it. My usual, that is one of the biggest compliments a brand can receive because it means they've earned a permanent place in someone's routine. They have become familiar and dependable and trusted. And trust is what keeps people coming back long after the excitement of something new wears off. So the next time you reach for your favorite drink, ask yourself, what keeps bringing me back? There's a good chance it isn't because the brand keeps changing. It's because it knows exactly who it is. I'm Leslie Jesperson, and if you enjoy looking at branding, media, and consumer behavior from a different perspective, let's connect. You can find me at lesliejesperson.com. That's J-E-S-P-E-R-S-E-N.
We are extremely proud of our outstanding lineup of regular contributors to Beverage Chronicles. We have a team that consists of columnists, authors, media experts, business leaders, and more. And of course, you can find them if you go to our website at beveragechronicles.com. These people are definitely among the most respected in the industry. And every once in a while, we don't mind doing a little bit of bragging about our group. And this is one of those moments. Rachel Benkowski, you know her from her Brews with Beerkowski segments on Beverage Chronicles, has just passed an exam, and she is now recognized as an advanced Cicerone. Now, if you're not familiar with that, it is a program. The Cicerone program is a professional certification system designed to improve knowledge and service standards for beer. It's considered the beer industry's equivalent of a wine sommelier certification. It tests candidates on beer styles, brewing ingredients, draft systems, food pairings, proper serving techniques, and sensory evaluation. Now, in this Cicerone program, there are four levels of certification, and each requires a progressively deeper understanding of beer. And Rachel just completed level three. And in that level, she has demonstrated extensive knowledge of global beer styles, advanced brewing science, in-depth draft system diagnostics, sophisticated sensory analysis, detailed beer and food pairing principles, and beer history and industry knowledge. Now, let's also note that Rachel is the first woman in the state of Arizona, it's where she lives, to become an advanced Cicerone. She's only the fifth person in that state and the 212th person in the world to have achieved her certification. Rachel is an integral part of our show. We so much congratulate her for her success. She was heard, by the way, on last week's episode. If you want to go back and catch that, you can. And she'll be on again real soon. So again, congratulations to our Rachel Benkowski. You know, when you hear the name Boston Beer Company, you probably think of Samuel Adams. I mean, that's definitely an iconic brand. But these days, the company is becoming much more than a beer maker. I was looking at its latest earnings report, and it kind of tells an interesting story. Now, while Boston Beer still carries the word beer in its name, none of its major malt-based brands posted growth during the second quarter, and that includes Dogfish Head, which had been riding a wave of momentum thanks to its surprisingly successful collaboration with the Grateful Dead. Overall, beer shipments to retailers declined by about 6% during that quarter. That's quarter two. The bright spots? Angry Orchard Hard Cider, and Sun Cruiser, the company's vodka-based iced tea cocktail. They both continue to grow, showing that consumers are increasingly reaching for beverages beyond traditional beer. Boston Beer is not stopping there, because the company is now introducing Rally Dog. This is a vodka-based sports drink that could become its next big success if the trend toward ready-to-drink spirits continues. Now, at the same time, Boston Beer is not abandoning its brewing roots. Samuel Adams is preparing for the fall season with a new apple spice ale, giving beer fans something seasonal to look forward to. So what's the takeaway? Even one of America's most recognizable craft brewing companies is adapting to changing consumer tastes. Today's beverage industry isn't just about beer anymore. It's about giving drinkers the variety they're looking for. And that ends this week's episode of Beverage Chronicles. Thanks to Vince Douglas and Leslie Jesperson for their reports. I'm Gary Monterosa. We will see you right back here next week. Take care, everyone.